Continue our study in Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6, 1 through 3. And this study has been really good for me. It's called me to a lot of things as a dad, as a husband, as a man, to the heart of God and what he wants for his people. And I pray that that's your experience as well, that a spirit filled, directed life results in joy and thankfulness and submission. And wives submitting to husbands in the way that I like to put it, they're co-owners of their husband's leadership. They're right there. They're owning it. They're embracing it. They're co-owners, but the husband's the leader. But they work together at embracing his leadership. And the husband is submissive to the wife in ways of meeting her needs. And what God's called him, caring for his wife, and we've talked about that. And parents to children, we're going to talk some about that this morning, and also children to parents and parents to children in submitting to their needs and meeting their needs as children. I'm going to touch a little bit on obedience and jump to honoring, because I realized this morning that I'm going to be getting up here late, and I have a number of people that I have lined up to talk this morning on honoring. So I'm going to be a little brief, but I'm going to finish up the next time. So bear with me this morning. Ephesians, got a new clicker here. Hopefully it works good. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may be well with you, you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey. We're not talking about infants here. We're talking about children. It doesn't mean much to my little grandson, Wade, that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. That this is the first commandment of the promise, that you're going to live long on the earth. This is for children who understand the promises of God, that obedience brings blessing. It's for children who can understand that. Not that children aren't to obey as their parents teach them and train them. We'll talk a little bit about that. But it's for those who are old enough to understand the blessing that comes with obedience. And obedience is what makes a family work, makes a home work. Obey is a command to please Christ, to obey mom and dad. And honor is how we do it. It's the attitude in which we obey. So we have the command to obey, and honoring is the attitude that comes with it. As to the Lord, so children, it's bigger than just obeying mom and dad, because as you obey mom and dad, you're obeying the Lord. So in your obedience to mom and dad, you're actually obeying Jesus as well in that command. What does honor mean? Before I do that, I want you to, in your mind, I want you to maybe close your eyes. I want you to picture your father, and I want you to put the word honor with it. Okay, what do you see? What do you feel there? Now I want you to picture mother, and what does honor look like there? Now I want you to think about your children honoring you. You can open your eyes. This command has no disclaimers. It doesn't say if your parents were good, you honor them. If they were bad, you don't have to honor them. It says honor your father and your mother. It's a command of Scripture. We live in a culture of dishonor. You know, it's hard to see a movie or to read a book or a magazine article that promotes honoring parents. Like you're going to watch a movie and the girl, the guy was going to say in the movie, no, wait a minute, I got to go talk to mom and dad about this first and see what they think. Like, when was the last time you saw a movie that promoted honor or read a book that promoted honor that wasn't a Christian book? So in our culture, that's the norm. Children are growing up in homes where honor isn't promoted. Like, their parents didn't honor their parents, so they're not being taught honor. And it's a downward spiral. Children are second thoughts rather than treasures and blessings from the Lord. It just happened because the man and the woman got together. So the honor of the blessing of honor and the teaching of honor is not being passed down from generation to generation. And you think about in the last 50 years, a lot has happened to honor in the United States. I believe honor begins in the heart, and it's expressed through actions and words. Honor begins in the heart and is expressed through actions and words. And parents, if you don't honor your parents, it's highly likely that your children won't honor you. We lead by example in our decisions. How do we make decisions? Do we make decisions in honoring the Lord? Do they know that when we make decisions as parents, we seek to honor the Lord in our decisions? And do we teach that culture of honor to our children? Honor means to respect, to revere, to regard, to show appreciation, to show significance, that you matter to me. And with that comes the promise. The first promise is that it may be well with you. So by honoring your father and mother, one of the promises is that it'll be well with you. So for example, say your parents are trying to teach you and train you, but you decide, I'm going to play Nintendo. Like, I don't care what mom and dad say, I'm going to play Nintendo all day long. So you're going to grow up, your life's not going to be very well. Like, you're going to have a rough life if all you've ever learned is play Nintendo. Your work ethic, your social skills, your commitment to a job, the ability to make money, you know, you're going to be very handicapped. So honoring your parents and following their instruction, one of the blessings is that it may be well with you. Second is that you may live long on the earth, that you live the length of the days that the Lord has allotted for you, and that it won't be cut short by some discipline of the Lord through the rebellion of you, of not honoring your father and mother. But one of the promises that go with honoring father and mother, that you will live a full life according to God's plan for you, God's plan for your life. So how do we do this? Luke 2:51-52, you know the story of Jesus teaching in the temple. Parents couldn't find him, they brought him back. It says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. One of the things I notice in there is the word subject or submissive. He was submissive to his parents. What do you think it was like for Jesus, perfect, to be submissive to imperfect parents? Do you ever think about that? You know, it's hard enough for us as imperfect to be submissive to our imperfect parents. But here's Jesus. He was subject to his parents. It's incredible. And here's the four areas I believe that we as parents are called to instruct our children. Four areas of teaching responsibility that Jesus' parents said that he grew in. Number one was wisdom, and intellectually. He grew in wisdom. And as parents, we train our children in knowledge. Some of you homeschool. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, you shall teach them to your children, talking to them when you're sitting in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So you're always teaching. Are we intentional in teaching our children the tools and skills of life? It's wisdom. Teach them in stature physically, how to be a man or how to be a woman. Help them to grow and to be a man and woman that God has called them to be. So we help provide a place where they can grow physically. And a lot of the home climate feeds into the physical well-being of a child. And parents have a big role in that. The next one is favor with God, spiritually. We have a big responsibility to help train these gifts that God has lent to us. Your children are little gifts that he lends to you and says, here, take them, train them. Teach them what I'm like, show them what I'm like. Help them to become disciples of mine. Point them in that direction. That's what your job as parents is to do. Along with that comes correction and discipline. You know, it's kind of not the norm today. You just let your children be who they want to be and let them be what they want to be, and don't guide them, don't correct them. You know, just let them be who they want to be. The Bible says, I think it's still true, that a rod to the backside still works. And you know, that's not, we're not talking about abuse, but we're talking about correction. It's so important to the welfare of our children. To make them sorry, not to make them mad. Our correction is to make them sorry and not to make them mad. The fourth one is with favor with men, socially. Help them grow up socially. How to be a good citizen and how to handle themselves with other people, relational skills. Just help them socially, how to develop. So there's four areas I believe that Jesus grew in, and it's a model for us as parents of how we can teach our children in this thing of honor. So dads, I'm going to lay a lot of responsibility at your feet this morning as leaders of your home. You have a big responsibility. The other Sunday we talked about you're to present your wife a spotless treasure to the Lord. It's your responsibility that the wife God gave you to present her back to the Lord. Now also, the gifts he's given you as children, that you present them to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done what you asked me to do. Yes, they have a choice of what they'll choose, but I was faithful in how you called me to be a dad and to lead my children. It's so important. One little disclaimer here. I was listening to, I'm not sure what it was, even yesterday, and they said that parents today are more stressed than ever. Like, their stress level in raising their children is through the roof. And I don't know why it is, but I'm going to throw one thing out of what it could be, and I'm going to say maybe it could be social media, that everyone is puts a good front on social media of what parenting looks like in a little snapshot or an Instagram post, and everything's all neat and tidy, and they think, well, it must be that always. It must always be that way. I don't know. Maybe that could be some of the pressure that's being put on people today. I just want to encourage you parents to relax. Like, it's a journey of raising children. You're going to have your days where you're going to want to pull your hair out. You're going to have days where you're going to want to sell your children to the neighbors. It's just that, I never did, but no. It's just the reality of, there's got to be days when you're frustrated. But I believe as we come before the Lord and say, Lord, give me strength, give me wisdom, and commit it to the Lord and persevere, that you will reap a harvest. So don't be weary, don't be faint, don't give up. I want to talk about three stages of honoring, and then I'm going to have three people from our congregation talk about what it was like for them to honor their parents and how maybe they honored, their parents honored them as children. I'm going to have Dan first, then Elaine, and then Elvin come up. So there's three stages, I believe, of honoring that we go through as people. First is the child stage, where it's basically you obey willingly, cheerfully, and immediately. So there's a period of time where you just obey. As children, you obey your parents willingly, cheerfully, and immediately. And they all lived happily ever after. So it means cleaning your room, share your toys, do your chores, eat your food, time to go to bed. No, you can't jump off the roof, even though you want to. We don't tolerate kicking and screaming. No, we don't have perfect children, but we're working on refining them and pointing them in the right direction. Teach them what authority is in the home, in the church, and in the government. So we have that child stage. We all have been there. Some of you are there, but y'all have been there. The next stage, you kind of transition. You go from a child to becoming your own little adult where you think you have all the answers, and maybe you do some, but you just can't exercise it yet. And you go through that stage of becoming a young adult. Now, the Bible don't use the word teenager. There's children, and then they become adults. So I'm going to say young adult. There's a stage of the transitioning where you have some more freedom. And yes, your parents give you the ability to make some decisions, but not all of the decisions. But it's good to give them some space so they can feel the consequences of decisions, but you're there to guide them, to help them through that. I want to read two verses. Leviticus 19:3 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, Ye shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy.'" I want you to think about these verses, talking about a holy God, be holy, for I am holy. Next verse, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." The next verse, verse 4, "Do not turn to idols nor make yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God." So in that whole, those three verses of talking about I am a holy God, I am the only true God, one God, right in there he says, honor your father and your mother. Do we see honoring your father and our mother that important? That he puts it right in there with those other aspects of God. Hebrews 12:9, "Furthermore," this is talking about the chastening of God. It says, "Furthermore, we as human fathers who have had human fathers who've corrected us, and we paid them respect," or we honored them as they've corrected us, "shall we not much more readily be subject to the Father of Spirit and live?" So it talks about it was just a given that our fathers corrected us, and we honored them, we respected them. So the transitioning years, it's the respect years. It's years where you respect your parents, you develop a respect, you develop a little more independence. You learn to accept, you accept your parents as your parents. You know, you didn't have a choice, did you, what home you were growing up in? You were just born, and you were born into that family. And guess what? We as parents didn't have a choice either. You were born into our family. And so it's a mutual thing that we accept the gifts God gave us, and you accept us as parents as gifts from God. It's just that easy, right? And, yeah. And you know what? God used their DNA to make you. Without them, you wouldn't be you. So you are a product of your mom and dad. You are a product of mom and dad. And you would not exist without them. Second thing, forgive their faults. You know, someday you're going to be a parent, and you're not going to be perfect. So there's some things you're just going to have to forgive about mom and dad. I'm not talking about gross sins, but things that kind of get you on edge. You're going to have to forgive them. And we'll talk about other things later. You respect them by how you talk to them and how you talk about them. I know there's times when you get upset at mom and dad and you get heated. But words like "I hate you," "I can't stand you," and slamming doors and threatening and turning your back and "I can't wait till I'm 18 till I'm out of here," that's not honoring. That's not how we honor mom and dad. That's not how we engage mom and dad. And parents, when that happens, stay engaged. Tell them you're going to love them anyway. God gave me you, and I'm going to love you through it all. And we're going to pray about this, and I'm going to pray for you. But in reality, isn't that what God does to us, his children? You think about it. Isn't that how he treats us? When we get upset, he loves us. He pursues us. resist the urge, parents, to engage in an escalating way. Sometimes you want to fight fire with fire, but resist the urge. It's a time when you can honor them by saying, hey, mom and dad, what do you think about this? You know, I want to go to Korea. Just kidding. What do you think about, you know, I want to buy this car. What do you think? Or, hey, this girl that I'm looking at, any ideas? What about this job? Or maybe you're struggling with some other area. That's what parents are for. See that little wiggle thing there? It comes in a funny way. It says, listen to them. Listen to your parents. You know, it's not the one of the most fun things to do, I know. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. You got that? The wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Honor your mom and dad. Listen to them. There'll come a time when you don't have to listen to mom and dad. But right now, you need to listen. I'm saying you do not have to obey mom and dad as do this, do that. You always need to listen to your mom and dad. But when you're in this stage, you need to hear them and listen to their counsel. You're not an adult yet. You're in that in-between. Listen to mom and dad. Even if they're living a life that is not a life you want to follow, I believe they still, and they're broken. Maybe they're broken, and they're not a believer or whatever. But I believe there's still things that you can learn, that we can learn from those parents as well. They have things to say. Maybe you say, well, whenever mom and dad get it all together, then I'll listen. Well, guess what? You'll never get it all together either. But we're commanded to honor our father and mother. God gave you your parents for a purpose. And God gave your parents so that we can be the people God wants us to be. Do you believe that? That God put you in your home for a purpose. Even though it may not be going well, there's something there that he wants you to learn for what he has for you. The next stage is the adult stage. And some of us are there as well. And that's the stage where we appreciate our parents. You honor them by appreciating them. All the efforts they took to raise you. You think about all the time, energy that it took to raise you. All they went through, the sacrifices. It's said that to raise a child to age 18, it takes $249,000. $249,000 to raise one child to age 18. I'm not sure where that's at, but that's just an estimate. But you think about all the clothes, the food, the doctor visits, all they poured into you, the trips they took you on, the things they did for you, the things they bought you. Proverbs 23:24-25 says, let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. So bring joy to your mom and dad by honoring them. They went through pain for you. I think everyone here is come from a mother, right? And from what I've told, there's a lot of pain goes into that. And let her rejoice as you honor her in their older age. Sadly, we live in the Western culture of the United States is one of the only cultures in the world who does not honor their older people, their aged people. The Asian, the Middle Eastern, the Korean, the African, the Japanese, they all honor. The older the parents get, the people get, the more they honor, the more they look to them for wisdom. Only in America are they valued less. Only in America do we put the greatest value on the youngest people. And look where that's getting us. We let them grow up to be who they want to be. We don't guide them. Just let them be who they want to be. The Bible clearly says we are to value, treasure, and honor the older people, especially mother and father. In the United States, the older they get, the less respected they get. A lot of their friends have passed on. The workplace has no need for their services or their wisdom. Kids are focused on their kids and don't have time for mom and dad. And aged mom and dad become fifth wheels. Now, this is the general. I hope this is not a reflection of us. But I believe aged parents have an immense need to know that they are appreciated for all they've given you as children as they get older. So how can you honor your aged parents? Appreciate them. Stay in touch with them. Honor means to show significance that you matter to me. So what can you do more than you matter to me by showing up and being there? By calling them, by texting if they have that kind of a phone, or email or cards to let them know. Talk about the details of your life, because their lives aren't as detailed anymore. They don't have as much stuff going on. I know I talked to Dad, and he wonders what all I'm doing, and he wants to know the details of what I'm doing. He likes to hear the details. The next one is provide for them. The roles are changing, where now you have children, young children, and your parents may be still living. So you're sandwiched in this generation where you have to take care of your parents and you have to take care of your children. And so you find yourself in the in-between stage. But it's an incredible opportunity for your children to see honor being passed down from generation to generation. As you honor your parents, your children will see what honor looks like. And as you honor your children as well, provide for them. 1 Timothy 5, 2 through 4 says, honor the widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show love at home or piety and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So if you have parents, if you have children at home that are still living, they need to take care of you. It pleases the Lord. It's that important. It's the first commandment with promise. It's the first relational commandment after the first four commandments of our relationship to God. It's the first commandment after that. And I believe it's there for a reason, because I believe if we get this one right, a lot of other problems will take care of itself. A lot of other problems will go away. And no, it's not the government's responsibility to take care of our parents. It's our responsibility to take care of them. I believe this generation has developed an independent generation where they want to ship their parents off to the home and live their own independent lives and leave them in a nursing home. And I wish I could say this was just in the world, but I believe, and I've seen it happen in the church as well, where we have this kind of mentality that the parents go to the home. But I'm so blessed by what I see in our congregation of those of you who have taken care of parents. And we're going to hear from some of them this morning. I want to close this section here this morning with, before the people come to share, an example of taking care of parents. When Jesus was on the cross, he was bearing the sins of the world, hanging on the cross. And there's seven sayings recorded of what he said on the cross. And one of them was, remember your mother, John. He looked down and saw John, his friend. He said, John, take care of my mother. You think about, he's there bearing the sins of the world, and he's honoring his mother by telling John to take care of him, take care of her for him. What a picture of honor. And brothers and sisters this morning, I believe it's our parents need to know that in their aging years that we will not forsake them, that we will be there for them no matter what. No matter what it takes, we will be there to care for them. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not take care of the needs of your own family, he is denied the faith and worse than an infidel. You honor God by honoring your parents. And I believe it's such important, and it's near to the heart of God, that on the cross he said he took care of his mother. You know, it doesn't take a lot of money to honor mom and dad, but it takes time. So with that, I'm going to call up those I've asked to share, Dan first, then Elaine, and then Elvin, to share what God has laid on your heart, and then I'll come up after that.
As I was thinking about honoring parents, I had to think back to the time when I got my driver's license. I grew up on a farm. I was the oldest of six. And when I got my driver's license, Dad said, you need to be careful as you drive, but you are much younger than I am, and your reflexes are much sharper than mine are. So you should be a better driver than I. It made me scratch my head. But it put a tremendous responsibility on me, realizing that he expects me to be a better driver because my reflexes are sharper than his. There are times in my life when I'm working with teenagers, parents, that I'm not sure that I have the right generation in front of me in my office. As I look and listen to Doug this morning, some of the things that he mentioned in the law, it stated, honor thy father and mother. And then in Deuteronomy, it added to that. Doug quoted that this morning. And we are to honor our parents unconditionally. Honor is something that is done voluntarily. I would like to quote from the Smalleys, deciding to place high value, worth, and importance in another person by viewing him as valuable and a priceless gift. In other words, granting him a position of high respect in my life. Honor is a gift we give to others. It is not purchased by their actions or contingent upon their emotions or our emotions. Several years ago, I had a ruptured appendix. I was in the hospital for about a week because of the rupture. And about half of that time, I had a group, a quartet, that came in and sang for me to put me to bed every evening. It was a ladies' quartet, and they were honoring their grandfather. They lived just a short few blocks away, and they would come in and sing. It felt very honoring to me. It felt humiliating to me. But I felt honored. And I discovered that outside of my room, there would be a group of people from the hospital listening in as the granddaughters were singing. Thank you, daughters of James and Carla, for coming and honoring me in that way. I doubted if very many patients in the hospital got that type of attention. As I became older, I was drafted at 19, and so I was sort of pulled out of my home prematurely, but I had no choice in the matter. Uncle Sam said, come. And I was fascinated as I look back to see how much Dad learned in those few years. I was the oldest and felt responsible to some degree for my younger siblings. But as I look back how Dad treated us, he made it easy for us to honor him. I'm just going to pull out one or two examples in my family. My brother, Dad was on a dairy farm and had lots of work to do. My brother had interest in birds. He was dreaming of someday being an ornithologist. When he was just a teenager, he went to Pittsburgh to hear P.O. Peterson talk about ornithology. My sister had interest in nursing, so Dad encouraged her to work at an old people's home close by so she gets some ideas. And as I look at all six of us, how Dad honored us by allowing us to pursue our interests and giving us time to pursue interests, we were given time to read on a dairy farm. Now that's fascinating to me still today, because as Dad took time for us, gave us time, we in turn honored him, and he made it much easier for us to honor him. In conclusion, I just want to reemphasize the importance that honoring is choosing to place high value on someone, to make them an important component of our life. Are you honoring your parents? Have you chosen to make them an important, integral component of your life? And in doing that, regardless of the home, many of you, let me say it like this, in an audience this size, there's going to be homes that are more easy and more difficult to honor. But the instruction to honor is unconditional, and I can testify to the rewards of honoring, how it enhances our relationships.
Time, but I won't today. I'd like to tell you a couple stories. It was about 4 years after I moved to Pennsylvania that my mother had a stroke rather suddenly. She lost the function of her right side pretty entirely, and with some rehab was able to be a little more independent, but it really threw our family into a real change of season. And I remember I went home for the summer that year, and Mom was pretty angry about having lost that function, and she really didn't want help, and she didn't want my help. And I remember feeling during those summer months, I remember one evening laying on the living room floor just crying out to God, and it's like, I don't think I'm going to make it emotionally here this summer. So honoring is not always comfortable or easy to do. But I also want to testify to the fact that it's an incredible blessing. And so one of my favorite lines is, during this journey of caring for my mom and my dad as they declined, I learned things that I didn't know I needed to learn. Mom and dad could be pretty independent for about 4 years, and then quite suddenly my father passed away 4 years later, and about that time Mom was confined to a wheelchair and she had moderate dementia, and so now I had a mom that was pretty totally dependent, and I really wanted to be able to care for her, but again it wasn't easy. And I remember the first summer as I was pondering having Mom live in my house, and I actually was able to take her to the day center up in Atlantis Homes, and I had a lot of help. Norman, thank you for the way you helped to transport her. And Arlene Minnick would come a couple evenings a week and stay with her so that I could do my job and do parts of my life. But I remember thinking, or one of my favorite lines was, you know, it's really weird to learn to mother by mothering your mother. That's the way it felt so often. And the role reversal parts are just pretty difficult sometimes. And I remember Mom was just in a wheelchair newly, and one day she was really frustrated, and she said, I have to go wherever you push me. And so what that underlines is just the loss of choices for them. And so one of my little strategies was to get real creative at figuring out all the kinds of choices I could offer. So, Mom, do you want to sit in this chair, or do you want to sit in this chair? Or do you want to eat this thing first or this thing first? And so the more choices I could give her, the more control she it felt like she had, so that she could feel more happy. I learned so much during the time, and I should say, so my father passed away in 2005, and Mom passed away in 2013, so I was pretty actively involved for about 8 years. And I remember that first year thinking, I don't know that I can do this for a whole year. I wonder if I can do this for a whole year. But the amazing thing was that there was incredible resources, and the Lord really ministered and opened up so many resources for me during those times. And so that's a faith builder. And during that time, I read 1 Timothy 5, those verses. And it's like, when do I read a scripture that literally says God is blessing me for what I'm doing? And that really was an encourager for me. So I learned about the mother heart of God. I learned about nurturing, and that and God really does care for those who can't care for themselves. I want to tell you a little story. Mom was in rehab at Fairmount a couple times when there was health issues. And one time, she was there, and I came after work and went up there to give her supper. And as I walked in, you know how they always sit all the old people in a big circle around, right? So I was trying to find her, and I was standing there kind of surveying the scene, and I couldn't see her right away. And all of a sudden, I found her, and she was watching me. And they had hair, they combed her hair funny, so I didn't identify her right away. It's one of the downsides of a place like that. But as I approached her, she said, I was waiting for you. And it really struck me in that moment, because you look at all those people sitting around, and kind of the fog is over their face, and they're kind of detached. And it really moved me to tears almost, because they sit there and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and no one comes, and they wait some more. And then finally, they give up. And I think that was one moment when I really want my mom to be with me and to be able to keep connecting with her. And I really believe that offering and serving teaches us about the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, that he is a servant. And that there's something about serving that releases the power of the Spirit in our lives and in other people's lives. And lest I make it sound like it, give you a Facebook image of my time with Mom, there were lots of hard moments. There were a lot of difficult moments. And I remember one time, Mom was being a real pistol. She was really resistive. And I gave her a real scolding. That's a kind word. And then I left the room. And then a little while later, when I came back, she looks at me and she says, in a very meek voice, she says, I'll do what you want me to do. That really broke my heart and touched me. So we both learned what it means to surrender to the other. I think that's what God's up to in this relationship thing. I think that's it. Thank you.
I could say all the good things that Doug was talking about this morning. I wish I could say I did. That would be the easy way out. Anyway, I grew up in a home where there was 11 siblings. And needless to say, there were some problems once in a while. I wasn't counting on those, but some others were. Anyway, we had wonderful parents, although at times I thought my dad was really strict. I think he was. And in order to counteract that, I tried not to be so strict with my children, with our children. But anyway, things changed as we went along. Anyway, I loved my parents to the extent that, they learned more than I knew they'd. They learned pretty fast, I thought. In other words, as I got older, I thought they learned real fast. My parents got pretty old. My mother died at home, and my father died at home. We talked about a lot of things in the waning years. We were, most of the family was with both my mother and my father when they passed, and I remember that as a time of honoring. As a time of being together and honoring. Like I said, my father was a pretty strong disciplinarian, and I'm not advocating that 100% today, although I am advocating that we discipline. Children like to be disciplined. Even though they think they don't, they still do. Even though they think that it's unnecessary, it is necessary. And I would like to leave the fact, I would like to, you know, when you talk about discipline, I remember the day when six of us boys slept in one bedroom. Now, that could be a little challenging today. I don't think anybody tries that today because... my goodness, boys couldn't put up with that, not six in one bedroom. But we did. And those were times that sometimes it gave things in the bedroom that Dad had to come up the steps. And we had a little signal. If somebody heard Dad was coming, we had a signal that helped us settle down pretty quick. But anyway, we won't go through that. The thing I'm saying is our parents loved us, and we love our children. And here we are. The important thing, I believe, is to tell our children and to discipline them to the fact that they become listeners and that they become respectful of other people. We're living in a world of a lot of disrespect. Have you ever thought about the fact that everybody's blaming everybody else? Really, most people, I shouldn't say everybody, but close. There's a lot of disrespect. If you don't want to listen to somebody, just don't do it. If he doesn't pony up, you might shoot him. You know, and here we are. We're disrespectful. I mean, we're living in a world of disrespect for authority. To our policemen and people like that, it's pretty serious. So as we remember to honor and to discipline our children, as we remember to for our children to honor us, we need to discipline and we need to care for them. Actually, God is still on the throne, and the things we need to do is provide for our own. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan, Elaine, and Alvin. I've watched you, how you honor your children and how they honor you. Elaine, how you walked that journey, did incredibly well. And Alvin, the love that your children have for you. So I bless you guys for how you instilled honor. Next time, which will be 1st of August, I want to look at how to honor parents who have hurt you deeply and how to parent honorably. So we'll pick up then. Until then, let's be a people that creates a culture of honor. In this Western civilization that is not known for honor, let's be a people who promote honor in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, that the name of Jesus will be honored and glorified. Shall I close? Let's just stand together for prayer. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your attentiveness. And yeah, let's pray together. Father, this is still on. Thank you for this day, Lord, that you've given, a day we can gather as a body and to worship and to praise your holy name. And Lord, this morning as we looked at the subject of honor and just it's so close to your heart, God, I pray for each of us on our journeys. Lord, we didn't have perfect parents, but you call us to honor. So Lord, help us to do it well, to do it from your heart, through your strength, through your power, and not our own. Lord, we commit each of us to your service this week. Use us for your building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.